Well, I was going to say, what a weekend. Half of it was pretty good as far as the NFC AFC Championship games go. Let's start with Buccaneers-Packers. Colfax, I said 31-21. I was fairly close there. Green Bay gets that field goal and makes it a little bit further away. I guess the most talked about field goal that we've had in a while. We're going to break into that. The Bucs win, though, 31-26. Tom Brady's going to 10 Super Bowls. You got Buccaneers. You got Chiefs. Here's what I'm going to say. Why are you people miserable with your lives? All I'm seeing on Twitter and social media is, oh, we got the Buccaneers and Chiefs Super Bowl. This sucks. What? You have the greatest quarterback in the history of the world, Tom Brady, going to 10 Super Bowls. We talk about it like it's just nothing. 10 Super Bowls. Nobody does that, man. Nobody. He's going for 10. He's going for win number 7 coming up, folks. And then on the other side, you have Patrick Mahomes, who's been to the AFC Championship game now 3 times, now 2 Super Bowls. He's going for his 2nd Super Bowl victory. He's the young up-and-comer, that not even the up-and-comer. He's the guy that we think's, if there is going to be a guy that can touch Tom Brady's Super Bowls and records and all that, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. You have a pretty good defense with Kansas City. You have Tyreek Hill, who's one of the most entertaining wide receivers to ever do this. Travis Kelce is probably going to go down as the greatest tight end in history. You have a Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that just, all they do is sack the quarterback. That's all they do. They might not be the best defense in the NFL. They're damn close, though, but they sack the quarterback. 5 on Aaron Rodgers. They were getting to him. And you don't want to see that? What am I missing?
I don't like Tom Brady because he's there all the time.
You don't like greatness then? Great. Let's go get one of these randos and put him in there every year. Let's do that. Yeah, that'd be fun. You guys are getting ready to wish it all away, man. Enjoy the moment. Live in the moment, all you New Year's resolutionists. Live in the moment of greatness. You have Tom Brady going up against Patrick Mahomes. I'm shocked. Oh, Brady, we hate the Chiefs because they're a rival. I'm sorry, but I like to be entertained. That's my thing. When I watch sports, I like to be entertained. And if it's not going to be the sleepy Broncos, then I don't care. I'm going to be entertained one way or the other. Might hurt a little bit if it's the Raiders, but I don't know. No, if it's entertaining, I'm going to watch it. There's a difference between annoying and entertaining. Yes, LeBron James sometimes annoys me. There are times I root against him. But I also root for the matchup that could maybe take him down. And that makes it even more fun. I'm shocked by this. I mean, I'm shocked over the past 10 years by this. I'm still just like looking at you guys going, you don't want to see arguably, not even arguably, the greatest quarterback of all time, the GOAT, go up against perhaps the guy that could dethrone him. This moment, this Super Bowl game, coming up in 2 weeks, we might look at that and go, that was the crossover there. That was the greatest of all time. And listen, Tom's not really giving us any hint that he's going to retire, but it's tough to get there. It's tough to get back. But this could be the crossover Super Bowl. Or you could see next year as the crossover Super Bowl. Who knows? But I will say this, Colfax. I pick a lot of things correctly. Sometimes I miss. But I called this in August of 2020. 2020. I said Tampa Bay and Kansas City are going to the Super Bowl. Thank you, Susan and Cheryl. Thank you very much. I know Kansas City I'm not really getting much credit for, but Tampa Bay I'm getting credit for. It's very rare for a guy like Tom Brady, who's been with one team for 20 years, to just go to the next team and boom, they're in. This was a non-playoff team last year in Tampa Bay. And here we are. I'm very excited about this. I'm pumped about it. I don't know. Listen, would Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay versus Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City be better? Not necessarily. I mean, again, it just depends. I thought Tom Brady was playing a great game in that first half. Everybody's pointed to the three interceptions. Those were rough. I get it. It wasn't a perfect game for him. And I will say this. Why did I tell you Tampa Bay was going to beat Green Bay? It wasn't necessarily because of Tom Brady. I said all you got to do is not turn it over. He did that. But this defense was special. Devin White is one of the best linebackers in the game, and he's so young. He had 15 tackles in that game. You had Shaquille Barrett. That's the frustrating part of this. Three sacks in the most important game of his life. He had one sack where he just looked like Von Miller. The timing of it, he got perfectly. So Shaq Barrett had three sacks. Jason Pierre-Paul had two sacks. His team was after it. They were pressuring him all game long. And they came up with some big turnovers. Aaron Jones had the fumble. And Rodgers did throw the interception. So Tampa Bay, they're high risk, high reward. They're either going to sack you, get an interception, cause a fumble, or they're going to die trying. So that game was very entertaining. We're going to get to that more. I know. Should he have kicked the field goal? Nothing about that scenario points to you should have kicked the field goal. If it was Jameis Winston as the quarterback, I don't even know. As the Tampa Bay quarterback? Because it's Aaron Rodgers. Here's the other thing, and we're going to get to clips here. But Rodgers said, hey, if he would have known they were going to just kick the field goal on fourth, maybe we would have called a different play on third. So they weren't even like on the same page. A lot of times coaches and quarterbacks kind of give an idea of, hey, if we don't get this here, we're kicking a field goal, FYI. And then, of course, Rodgers rolls out to his right. He might have had a touchdown. Who knows? Those guys close in pretty fast, and Rodgers might have been afraid that he was going to get, you know, Ntamukong Suh from behind or something and force a fumble, which would end the game, essentially. So I kind of get not running at that stage, but it looked pretty open from my couch anyway. But Matt LaFleur, you know, going with the field goal. We never see it. Is that the last time we're ever going to see Aaron Rodgers as a Green Bay Packer? Is it the last time we ever see him in an NFC Championship game? We didn't get to see one last shot. He rolls to his right, tries to hit Devontae Adams in double coverage when maybe he could have ran for a touchdown. Frustrated for sure. Colfax, we're going to unpack all this today. You guys are out of your minds if you don't think this is going to be an entertaining Super Bowl. The build-up, the storylines. You've got the best players in the NFL on this team. Mike Evans is one of those great wide receivers. I know Leonard Fournette had 55 yards, but watching him, he had 20 yards receiving. It's a really nice redemption story for him. You know, he was supposed to be a stud out of college, didn't really pan out, goes to Tampa Bay. He's done some meaningful things for this team. There's so many. Gronk coming back. He comes back after taking, a year off, and now he's back, and he's in the Super Bowl. There's so many great storylines. You're out of your mind. You don't like sports, apparently. You don't like to be entertained. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Maybe the ugly is fans that are like, I don't want to see this. I'm sorry. And then Broncos country's doing it, too. I'm like, the last 5 years, you people are entertained as hell watching the Broncos. Okay, sorry. Sorry. The good for me, aside from, you know, intriguing championship weekend, those Denver Nuggets found a way to do it, but it took three overtime periods between the two nights. Denver beat Phoenix twice over the weekend.
Murray feeds a cutting Jokic. Missed. Got it back. Goes back up and scores with a left hand to tie it at 114. Murray fading to his left. Scores it at the horn. Over Ayton. Jokic gets it on the spin. Blocked from behind. Finishes. Draws the foul. You've got a rookie in Jalen Smith over there on the bench as Jokic just effortlessly knocks it down. A 5-point Denver lead here in the second overtime. Jokic back it down. Just a nice little jump hook. Timeout Phoenix.
Nikola Jokic just continues to do it. He had two overtimes and yet another overtime. I mean, so many overtimes. And it was back-to-back, too. So these guys are probably exhausted. Denver goes at it against Dallas tonight. I want to talk more about the Nuggets. The Joker, he had 22 rebounds in that last game. 29 points at 22 boards. Michael Porter Jr. was back in the lineup, which was great to see. And Jamal Murray was packing a punch, too. So, honestly, I can complain all day, but if all three of them are rocking and rolling, I'm fine with that. The bad. Well, I'm going to get to this story a little bit later on, but the offensive coordinator Joey Lynch for Colorado State is moving on. He is going to Vanderbilt. Here we are. Yeah, we find out yesterday, January 24th. This is one of my reasons for saying that the player portal is okay, because you're paying coaches, but then you're allowing them to just willy-nilly up and leave whenever the hell they want. So, yeah, I think players, if it's reasonable, should be allowed those opportunities as well. So Joey Lynch, a Colorado State Ram, no more. We'll talk about that later on. And the ugly, kicking the field goal rather than going for it, giving Tom Brady the last shot and not Aaron Rodgers. Here's Rodgers and LeFleur on that.
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. Yeah, that wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts. But, yeah, that wasn't my decision.
I went into the decision to kick the field goal there on 4th and 8, and do you regret that in hindsight?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having 3 shots and coming away with no yards and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI, and it didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process-driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
I mean, defensively, they were playing better in the second half. They were. But there's so many things I want to get to on this. LaFleur talked about the PI call. Everyone's going crazy. Oh, the refs and Tom Brady strike again. They were letting them play when they were. They were letting them play. But Colfax, if you have a pass interference against you and you are, the ref can easily see that you're pulling a jersey, that's an obvious call, man, and I get it. That they were letting them play all game long. The commentators brought it up. And I had some people say, well, it really didn't impact them. I've seen guys commit pass interference and receivers still catch the ball. So clearly it didn't impact them. You still call interference, though, right? If you can see a jersey being pulled like this, I don't care if it impacted them at all, they're going to call that. Even the most, like, lenient official is going to call that. And it was in front of him. Did it take him a while to get the flag out? I guess. He's trying to pull it out. I don't know. But that to me was obvious, man. We could talk about all the other possible penalty calls, but this is one where you clearly see a guy grabbing a jersey and pulling on it. There's not a big argument from me here on that. Sure, there were other. They could have called a lot of calls against the Bucs. They could have called some calls against the Packers too. This is sports, Colfax. I've said it a bazillion times that I don't like instant replay because it's just going to happen. It's bang bang, let it go, and then we can argue about it the next day whether it was the right call to make. That was the right call. He pulled on his jersey. First Advantage text line is available. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to it. If not, you're already a part of the club. Welcome to it. 970-478-1301. That's our First Advantage text line. 970-478-1301. Pete says Green Bay versus Kansas City would be better watching State Farm commercials during the Super Bowl. Maybe. Now Rodgers got more time to come up with some new material for those State Farm commercials. So, I mean, you do have that side of it. Listen, I think it's going to be a special Super. I hope so. I have not made my pick yet. I didn't go that far, did I? I said, we're going Tampa Bay, we're going Kansas City, and we feel great about it, and we did. So I'm not trying to tell you guys that I know what I'm talking about, but, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You got Tommy B back in the Super Bowl. I guess we're done with that whole Belichick-Brady thing, right? Who's better, Belichick or Brady? I mean, Belichick's out of the playoff, didn't make the playoffs. Tom Brady's going to a Super Bowl his first year. And I'm hearing all the things of, well, he has more weapons. You know, Tom Brady got the choice to go somewhere. Belichick had the choice too, if you'll remember. I mean, Belichick makes decisions in that organization. they were ready to move on from Tom Brady. So before you give me the whole, well, Brady's got the, he had the option to go to a team, anybody he wanted. He went to a ready-made Buccaneers team. They missed the playoffs last year, folks. They weren't a ready-made team. Plus, if the Bucs really thought, or if the Patriots really thought Tom Brady still had it, he'd be in New England. And who knows? Would have went and probably made it to the AFC Championship. I know I haven't touched the Bills, Chiefs. We'll get to that. That turned out to, you know, Bills had their opportunity early, but I'm telling you, man, the Chiefs are playing in that top-level form. That was the best I've seen them play. When they get it firing like that, I don't know many teams that can beat them. And that includes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got a lot to talk about today. We'll get Zach Stevens on the show. Any updates on Von Miller and the Broncos and any grumblings or rumblings out there, I should say. And just his thoughts, too. Because do you see Denver really? I mean, okay, again, if it's about winning a Super Bowl, because that's what it is, are they wasting their time with Drew Lock? What you saw yesterday was a perfect Patrick Mahomes. And if he's anything like Tom Brady, he's going to do it for the next 20 years or 15 years. Do you really think Drew Lock's the guy? Do you really think Vic Fangio's the guy? So I've kind of changed my thinking here. This is the tweener year. Elway's already said, I'm done. So, okay, this isn't a go for broke anymore. Might as well take the tweener year. And I mean, before ownership steps in, throw it out. You know, throw the whole thing out. Redo it. Draft a quarterback or trade everything to get a Stafford or Deshaun Watson, and then give it a real shot. That's kind of where I am now. If Elway stuck around, I'd say, all right, finish out your little experiment with Vic Fangio and Drew Lock. But again, Fangio's the guy. We're sticking with it. That's what it is. Drew Lock's probably the guy, unless Deshaun Watson changes his mind. Denver is a top option for him. A lot to get to, 22 minutes after the hour. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. If you want to get at us on our text line, our First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Power to Play Sports poll question. Who are you rooting for? Bucks, Chiefs. And I have people commenting saying neither. And I don't get it. I just don't get it.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
That's a good one. Good one, Colfax. Well done. 27 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. The Madden tournament is heating up. We've got about 2 weeks away here. We're giving away, thanks to Greeley Bears Pop Warner, a PS5. So I did have a lot of questions coming up over the weekend. There is an age limit. It is 18 plus. However, I've talked to the great folks at NoCo Mobile Gaming, and probably in a few months we're going to put together another bracket for like a kids type bracket thing that could be kind of cool. That we'll register people through here. Could be a good time, but we're looking forward to it. Cannot wait. That is February 6th. It's a Saturday afternoon. It's right before the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl will be on Sunday. Come out, win yourself a PS5, man. And then go watch the Super Bowl. That's the way to do it. So later on in the show, I'm going to be registering someone for that. Also want to remind you, Sweetheart City Racing. I got to know the folks over there kind of in the midst of all this. And when Loveland's kind of banding together to try to get out of that mess, the mess that was the COVID-19 pandemic. Talked to a lot of great businesses. One of them was Sweetheart Classic. So I've been kind of wanting to get in better shape, start running, watch what I eat a little bit. And so I'm going to run in the February 13th Sweetheart Classic coming up. And it's again during the Sweetheart Festival in Loveland. It's going to be in Old Town. It's a blast. And so if you want to run with me, let me know. You can check out their website, Sweetheart Classic or Sweetheart City Racing. You can shoot me a message if you're interested, because I could use some moral support. And trust me, if you're not a big-time runner, there's going to be some walking involved. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm going to try not to, but we'll see. That's the Sweetheart Classic coming up Saturday, February 13th. There's also the couples version if you want, Sunday, February 14th, 2021. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, our Power to Play Sports poll question. Who are you rooting for in this one? And 62% of the Hooligans are saying the Chiefs. Wow. So Broncos country hates Tom Brady that much that they would root for the Chiefs. Crazy. All right, go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Dixon, this is when you know it is going to snow, right? Some weird weather is getting ready to happen around here. Dixon says, these words never happen, all right? Agreed, Brady. What? That's amazing. Yeah, we don't even have to play the Arch Nemesis show music or anything like that. He says, there's a difference between letting some hand fighting go and a jersey being yanked like that. You can't ignore it. It looked like Noob at the Den. Okay. It's not Top Text Tuesday, but that was... that was good. Listen, they were letting him play. There were a lot of times they could have called something. But 10 times out of 10, if I'm an official and I'm letting stuff go, if I see some of your clothing, your jersey is tugged as I'm chasing you down, I'm calling pass interference. It's cut and dry to me, folks. That's that simple. The rest of it, we could argue all day long about whether it was the right call, the right no call, whatever. There's no argument on that one. I mean, that one was more obvious than anything we've seen over the weekend. 31 minutes after the hour, we will switch gears. Well, kind of. We're still talking football. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos coming up. We'll talk to him about, well, honestly, every time Shaq Barrett does great, it's awesome because he's a Colorado State alum, but it's also really, really tough to see. And the fact that the two guys that are kind of revolving around that Bradley Chubb move, being Shaq Barrett and Josh Allen, both played in championship games this weekend. So it's a tough pill to swallow. All right, 31 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, welcome back. Having fun on this Monday. Glad you could be with us here. Now, a reminder, I'll be out tomorrow. Have a couple of things going on in the afternoon. So, big picture kind of stuff. It's all exciting. It's all great. Brian Howell will fill in from the Buff Zone. So excited about that. Maybe he'll talk a lot about this CU Texas A&M going to play at Empower Field next fall. Wow. We're going to get into that a little bit later on. Joining me is our great friend of the program, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, I just tweeted it out, my man. I'm watching Patrick Mahomes. That's the best. You know, the Chiefs were playing their best yesterday. That was scary. Can we really stay the course here if we ever hope to compete with the Chiefs? Or is it time for the Broncos to just say, you know what, whether it's through the draft, trading everybody, let's go for broke and see if we can redo this thing?
Well, Brady, if yesterday wasn't depressing enough for Broncos country, watching Tom Brady go to the Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes just walk his way there, here's another depressing fact to start off your Monday. The Broncos lost to, so that the Broncos played three of the teams that played this weekend. They played them this year. Of course, the one team they didn't play was the Packers. They lost to those teams, those three teams, by an average of 20 points this past season. That is obviously terrible. You want to take it one step further. The Broncos lost to the playoff teams this year that were in the playoffs this year by an average of 14 points per game. That was the worst in the NFL. So if you just look at it from the team that was last year, no, there's no shot. Now, if you think Drew Lock can develop, then that is your hope for the Broncos being able to compete with these teams, is that Drew Lock really takes off and develops like Josh Allen did. And Josh Allen's really the only quarterback in NFL history that has developed the way he has, with starting slow so poorly and then playing so well a couple of years later. He's really the only one. So if you think Drew Lock can do that, then that's where the Broncos have a shot. If not, then yeah, you do need to change quarterbacks, and whether that's, you know, getting a veteran guy, there's plenty out there right now, or a young guy. There are so many different directions the Broncos and George Payton can take this year.
All right, Zach, four options here. Drew Lock, draft a quarterback early enough to make sense of a quarterback playing next season. Go for a trade situation like a Deshaun Watson, or give up on the Deshaun Watson dream and, you know, to give Matt Stafford a call.
Yeah, outside of Drew Lock, just because he's the one in the building, he probably is still the favorite. I think the Matthew Stafford one is the biggest possibility right now. And there's plenty of reasons why. John Elway has always liked Matt Stafford. And I know that John Elway isn't the one making final decisions, but I think he would sign off on that deal. And George Payton also knows exactly what it's like going up against Matt Stafford, since he's played him so many times, being in Minnesota since Matt Stafford has been drafted in 2009. And that, to me, makes the most sense for the Broncos right now, because Brady, when we talk about where the Broncos are, they're not just one step away from competing with the Chiefs and competing with the other best teams. They're many, many steps away. This trading for Matt Stafford right now is a huge step in the right direction. What you would be doing is you would be taking a huge step in the right direction at the most important position of sports. You'd be getting a massive upgrade. Drew Lock and the Broncos quarterbacks last year, pretty much bottom of the league in every category. Matt Stafford, when you look at him, he's around 13 to 15, so an average to slightly above average quarterback. Does that make you a Super Bowl contender right away? No, it doesn't, but that's a huge step in the right direction. I think this team would be immediately competing for the playoffs, and Broncos country, that's kind of a huge step to take right now. It's not where everyone wants to be, but that would be a great step in the right direction.
Zach, we've heard at least three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson, and we're hearing kind of more clarity with Detroit. They're ready to move on, and there's no bones about it. Houston still seems like a big mess over there. What's it going to take for Stafford? What's the first price here? The first thing we're throwing out.
Well, I think if the Broncos want to get this thing done and have Detroit not talk to anyone else, Broncos should offer up the 9th overall pick, and I think a deal is done right there. I think that's the most that Matthew Stafford would go for, is a borderline top 10 pick in this draft, and of course the Broncos would be a top 10 pick. But what's interesting is you may not have to give up a first-round pick. You have Peter King suggesting that the Broncos could give up 2 second-round picks, including this year's second-round pick, or this year's second-round pick and Drew Lock to get Matthew Stafford. To me, I'm okay with any of those deals because even if the Broncos have to give up the 9th overall pick, Brady, what's more important, getting a massive upgrade at the quarterback position or, let's say, getting the second cornerback in the draft if the Broncos don't trade that away, and then they have a stud cornerback? To me, it's easy. You get the quarterback, the huge upgrade, but let's say the Broncos only have to give up a second-round pick or 2 second-round picks or a second in Drew Lock. Well, throwing in Drew Lock in the deal, to me, doesn't mean much, because if you bring Matthew Stafford here, he's your quarterback. There's no really going back to Drew Lock in this situation. So, to me, all of those deals seem pretty easy for me to do if I'm George Payton.
Yeah, and a quarterback's the only one to do it with, because I'll agree. I'll admit that when I'm looking at a top 10 pick, I want Denver to get a shutdown corner. But if that is okay, but instead of that, you can get your quarterback that might actually get you in the playoffs. All right, I'm taking that. I wasn't crazy about moving away from, you know, that 10 pick to go Noah Fant. And Jerry Jeudy, I mean, I ended up being okay with, because it's Jerry Jeudy. He had that explosive ability, but it's hard for me to want to part with a top 10 pick unless it's for a proven quarterback or a prospective quarterback that we really think is going to be the next big deal, because that's what we've learned this weekend, is it's most of the time, 9 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, it's going to take a franchise quarterback to get you there.
Exactly. And Brady, that's the only situation where I'm not okay with the Broncos trading their first-round pick to get Matthew Stafford, is if they identify someone in the draft that they love at quarterback. And remember, Patrick Mahomes was not the first overall pick. They got him right around where the Broncos are right now. So let's say they identify Trey Lance as their guy, then I'm okay with the Broncos trading up in the draft to get him. Or let's say it's Zach Wilson, Justin Fields. Then I'm totally okay with them hanging on to that pick. But if not, it's easy for me, because with Matthew Stafford, you're getting a guy that is 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. If the Broncos have that, on the team that they're going with in 2021. They'll be competing for the playoffs, and that'll be a huge step up for them. And then you know what? What I love about Matthew Stafford is you're not locked into him for the next 5 years. Now, you can be. You can re-sign him to a contract, but what his contract is right now, it's very team-friendly. 2 years, $43 million left. That's chump change when you're talking about a good-to-average quarterback. You'll take that in a heartbeat. Matthew Stafford also has a high ceiling being that first-round pick, and he's had 41 touchdowns in the NFL before, so I like that as well. His floor is pretty darn high, too. Like I said, he's averaging 25 touchdowns, 10 picks in the last five seasons. That'll get it done. But then also, what you can do is I view Matthew Stafford as a potential Alex Smith type of player when he was with the Chiefs. You can have him, and he takes you to that respectability level that the Broncos need to get back to where they're competing for the playoffs. But then what did the Chiefs do when they had Alex Smith? They drafted Patrick Mahomes, and they let him develop, and look at how that turned out. Now, obviously, let's say Patrick Mahomes is more of just a really good first-round pick instead of, you know, one of the greatest first-round picks of all time. That's still looking like a great situation for the Chiefs. So the Broncos, by trading for Matthew Stafford, don't have to be committed to him for the next 10 years. They can be committed to him for the next 2 years, the next 4 years, and then they can also go out in a couple of years and get that first-round pick and have him develop behind him. So I just love Matthew Stafford, the idea of him, because he's an immediate, huge upgrade at the quarterback position. And really, all options are still on the table for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and to those saying, oh, well, if you want to be a contender as soon as next year, that's not realistic unless it's, to me, it's unless it's Deshaun Watson. And even then, I don't know. So, and everything we're hearing, Zach, is that Deshaun, this isn't going to be one of his choices. I don't believe so. And maybe you can speak more into that. But if you're not going to get Deshaun, then everything else is going to be, okay, let's try to get instantly better. And then, like you said, get a Stafford, and that gives you time to you know, get deeper scouting into whatever that next quarterback position is going to look like in 2 to 3 seasons. But, yeah, if Deshaun says today, no, Denver's my number one choice, okay, we're going all in there. But that, to me, is the only crazy factor that makes you somewhat of an instant contender, and I don't even know if that does the trick.
No, I completely agree with you, Brady. I view Deshaun Watson as a borderline top five quarterback. And of course, that would be huge for the Broncos to get. He is a big upgrade over Matthew Stafford, who, like I said, is like the 15th to 13th best quarterback. And then he's even a huge upgrade to Drew Locke, who last year statistically, you know, in the bottom couple guys in the NFL. But also with Matthew Stafford, and why that may be even more appealing to George Payton, is George Payton's all about drafting and developing. He said that would be the lifeblood of the Broncos. A week after saying that, and especially this year, if he were to trade for Deshaun Watson, I think everyone would think it'd be a good trade, but it would be 3 first-round picks plus some of your developmental guys, like potentially a Courtland Sutton or a Jerry Jeudy and a Bradley Chubb. Well, then there's draft and develop. You're throwing that out the window because you're also probably including some second-round picks. So this could be a happy compromise with getting an immediate upgrade at quarterback while also still being able for George Payton to get his guys here and draft and develop. Now, saying that, I think if they have an opportunity to get Deshaun Watson, you still do it. They would be open to that, of course. But this one just may be that perfect window for him.
Everyone's talking about, in specifically Broncos country, at least on the Twitter that we're around, right? How about Aaron Rodgers? And I guess my first thought to that is, I don't even know what the Packers are planning. They get Jordan Love for a reason, though. They don't just get him in the first round just for fun. But if Rodgers is frustrated with Matt LaFleur's play calling in the NFC Championship, how in the hell is that going to work with Vic Fangio's play calling?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty perplexing yesterday, some of the decisions that we saw from the Packers, specifically at the end of the game, and then also with the Bills. It's not just the Broncos that have some conservative and head-scratching play calls. Two of the 4 top teams in the NFL this year were just playing conservative, playing scared. And how do you do that when you're going up against Tom Brady? You can't be giving the ball back to him with 2 minutes hoping that you're going to get the ball back. You can't do that. And then also with the Bills, to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, you're going to have to put up a lot of points. You can't be settling for field goals. You got to be aggressive. I was mind blown by that. And Aaron Rodgers, man, if he or Deshaun Watson want to play with the best young weapons, Denver may be their place. But we haven't seen Deshaun Watson point to anything with Denver that would make you think he would want to come here.
Zach, what you just said is exactly why I love Todd Bowles and what Tampa Bay did. They've been like this all season, so you know that's nothing new. But they were aggressive. That defense said, you know what? We're either going to sack Aaron Rodgers, get interceptions, get something crazy, or we're going to die trying, man. We're going to go down swinging. And that's why I love that Tampa Bay defense. They did everything that we were upset with the Packers for doing and the Bills for doing, for, you know, not taking that aggressive shot, not trying to. If you're going up against history, you're going up against Tom Brady, you're going up against Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead Stadium, it's time to do something that nobody else does, and that's be extremely aggressive, not just pretend it's a Week 3 regular season game.
Exactly. You are 100% right. And then also, I mean, how about Shaq Barrett coming up huge? He was maybe the biggest reason why Tampa Bay won that game. And of course, it's bittersweet because the Broncos could have kept him. He could be on the Broncos right now. But also, since he isn't on the Broncos, man, that's a reason why everyone can cheer for Tampa Bay. I know a lot of people don't want to be pulling for Brady, but at the same time, no one wants to be pulling for the Chiefs. So everyone just needs to pull for Shaq Barrett to have a Super Bowl MVP type of game. And also, at the same time, you're talking about Todd Bowles being aggressive, which I completely agree with you. How about Bruce Arians at the end of the first half?
Right.
Instead of punting or doing something like that, he goes for the deep shot on fourth down. Absolutely love that play call.
Yeah, I do too, man. Zach, and on the Shaq Barrett thing, I don't want you to think I'm copying your tweets. I think right at the same time we tweeted about Shaq and his Von Miller timing on one of those sacks. I mean, that was not offsides. I went back, I'm looking, I'm like, that looks just like Von Miller in that moment. So
yep.
Shaq Barrett is adding more tools to his utility belt every single game.
Oh yeah, he is so good and really, really showing up. According to, I believe, Pro Football Focus, Shaq has more quarterback pressures than anyone in the NFL since the start of 2019. He is an absolute baller, and man, wouldn't it be something to see two number 58s be the Super Bowl MVP within the same decade?
Wow. Well, it might just happen. Zach, appreciate you as always, my friend. And hey, we'll see what the Broncos decide to do, what the market calls for anyway. It'll be fun to talk about for sure.
Oh, man, it's going to be so exciting. Happy to talk with you, Brady.
All right, my man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Aaron Rodgers would look great in a Broncos uniform. I don't think that's possible. I don't think Deshaun wants to come to Denver. It's going to be Matt Stafford, and then that's a kind of a really nice stopgap. And we'll talk about that more on the other side. My game of the week coming up next. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
New coach, new season, new hope. UNC Hoops can be heard right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. No Code Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Four minutes until the top of the hour. Got a lot to talk about today. Give me a fun couple of weeks getting gearing up for these, you know, this Super Bowl and all that. Plus, there's still great college basketball going on. Great NBA basketball, too, with the Nuggets going 2-0 over the weekend. Colfax, my game of the week. Game of the week features the Colorado State Rams for the second week in a row. Why? Because the Boise State Broncos are coming to town. It's going to be on CBS Sports Network on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Cannot wait for that one. That's going to be good. Now, Boise State, you're wondering, are they going to have that game? I thought they had a COVID scare. Well, according to KTVB, after further testing consistent with Boise State and Mountain West protocols, it was determined that a false positive was attributed to an asymptomatic patient. So they didn't have that second Fresno State game because of that. So game on, baby. Colorado State's in third place in the Mountain West Conference. Utah State's sitting at number two. And the Broncos holding on to number one. They've only lost one game, and that's to number eight, the Houston Cougars. So it's going to be tough. But Colorado State found a way to split against Utah State last week. Can they do it again? All right, second hour coming up. Got a bunch to hit. And, boy, we're going to talk about Tom Brady going to 10 Super Bowls. We'll be right back. You said you won't leave alone here, but anyway.